Well, ABS data showed a jump in retail sales and also the sales of motor vehicles for the financial year ended 2015. But independent economist Saul Eslake does not believe the small business investment tax incentives have had the sustained effect that the government had hoped for. But with additional improvements like the contracts provisions allowing small business to get consumer-like protections, Peter Strong, CEO of the Small Business Association of Australia, thinks things are looking good for this sector. I asked Peter Strong, what sort of purchases do businesses make to take advantage of the immediate tax write-off incentives?
You know, photocopiers, office equipment, office furniture, fit-outs. I think I heard quite a few people did new fit-outs at the office altogether. Some people purchase, you know, second-hand utes, second-hand equipment like that.
So you could actually get second-hand things on that rebate system?
Yeah, it was all just all you needed to do was need it and off you go.
Right. And since then, is there still people utilising the scheme?
Of course, yeah, there would be, without a doubt. You know, as you get closer to tax time, accountants are all over that sort of thing.
With the idea of it being a stimulus for small business, do you get the feeling that small businesses have had a bit of a shot in the arm?
Well, I do. Well, I mean, it's the nature of all of us to keep whinging, I suppose. And let me say, I think the confidence is there. The budget did what was wanted. Now, the confidence got hit by the whole thing with the change of PM. But things have continued on for small business. You've got the changes in contract laws. That was a big change. You've got the victory
so
we had.
Can you just explain that for me? What were the changes for contract laws?
Oh, right. Prior to the change, a contract between a small business and a big business was treated as the same as between a big businesses. But what they've brought in is protection from unfair contract clauses, the same as the consumer has, up to an amount of $300,000 for a contract, or I think it might be $1 million over 2 years. So that's quite a change. That means people that are going into leases, people that are getting into contracts of many sorts and they're going to have the same sort of protection that a consumer gets, which means they're going to get less chance of them being done over by franchisors and those sorts of people, and by landlords, etc. It's quite a big change, quite a great change, as a matter of fact. I mean, a lot of contracts that are over $300,000, hopefully that means the small business person puts a bit of effort into it and gets a solicitor. But, you know, this means with Coles and Woolies and those sorts of people, there's going to be a lot more fairness involved.
And so have small businesses been confident to the extent of actually putting more people on or adding to the hours of existing casual employees, that sort of thing?
Well, what I'm seeing is, yes, there's more casual employees hitting the ranks. I think some of the unions have complained about that, saying it should be permanent. Well, you know, it's a different issue. And just a feeling, we're talking to my members, which is where it all comes from, is, you know, there's not that fear that there was there for a long time. There's a much better feeling of, you know, well, it's a bit fair out there. I can go ahead with more confidence. The changes in competition law, you know, the agreement to that also sent a big message that the government wasn't listening to a handful of big businesses, that they were actually doing what's best for the economy. It was really quite, that by itself was an extraordinary event. And then the president of the Fair Work Commission, you know, he's trying to bring in things like plain English awards. So when we hear stuff like that, you think, good, you know, people are thinking about us the right way. As we go into the election, and we'll see what election does, as we go in there, the government's looking very good. The Greens are coming good, by the way. They're not, you know, we don't agree with everything they do, but they've developed much better small business credentials with people like Peter Wish Wilson, as well as Di Natale himself. We've had some good dialogue with them. They've supported the changes in competition. They were key to the changes in contracts. And, of course, Nick Xenophon.
And what was the effect of the change of Prime Minister on small business? Did you get some positive feedback on that?
Yeah, it was all positive. Everybody breathed a sigh of relief. I think, you know, I remember I was up there, I was up in Parliament House being interviewed, and I got kicked off by the fact that there was this happening, you know, which is fair enough too. And you could just feel the sigh of relief as the change came in. I mean, then there's been the disappointment. Turnbull hasn't performed like people wanted. It has been a bit wishy-washy.
And what are you expecting in the upcoming budget? Any special prizes for small business, do you think?
Well, what we're hearing, you know, around innovation and those that want to grow, you know, given we've got a deficit, they're not going to be throwing money around. But certainly there seems, well, there is an appetite to say, increase the threshold of what about how we determine what a small business is. Now, that can have quite a huge impact on the budget, so we'll see if they do it, but I know they want to. It's just the impact of increasing it from, say, $2 million to $5 million for a lot of the provisions that you find out there.
So you'll be watching the education announcements in the budget?
Very much so. It's really a dragging productivity back, I've got to tell you. It is quite a problem.
We do seem to have fallen behind in productivity nationally. There's been figures out which show that we've fallen behind other OECD countries.
Oh, we have. Yeah. The word I use all the time is languishing, because nothing special is happening. You know, in our opinion, it's because of the failure of competition policy. Now, you've got if you look at people say I talk about Coles and Woolies in a bad way too much. I can't talk about them too much in a bad way. You've got Coles got pinged for their unconscionable conduct with 250 firms. That's not little. And now Woolworths are in court because of what they did with 1,000. Now, everybody in the supply chain to Coles and Woolies are the people that add value. That's what they do. They're manufacturers and growers. And the fact that they've been held back is a real issue for productivity. And the other thing that's come through from the members very strongly is the issue of paying your tax. Most businesses, are fine, and most big businesses are fine. If they don't pay their tax, quite often it's because they're carrying a loss forward or they've done investments or something. But there's too many, absolutely too many, that are dodging, and they're going overseas, they're going to Panama, they're going to Singapore and what have you. That's got to be fixed. We've got to send a message to the whole community that they are hunting those people. And interestingly, I was going to write an article about this. It seems that the ones who are moving tax offshore, like the mining companies, are also the ones that are taking forever to pay their suppliers. I think the mining sector's averaging 90 days at the moment. And, if you're a small business waiting for payment, that's not a good thing. That's heading towards insolvency, not because you're a bad business, but because they won't pay you. It's interesting that they're developing, because they're so big, some of them are developing that behaviour of not paying and using other businesses as banks.
Yeah, so you'd be eagerly awaiting some results from this list that the ATO has on Mossack Fonseca clients.
Plus, and the message loud and clear from the government. And they can do that through a budget, but loud and clear. You do it, we'll get you. And, they've given the resources to ASIC.
To ASIC, and is that a welcome expenditure there, do you think?
Well, one of the things interesting about that is they want ASIC to go to, user pays. Now, Greg Medcraft and I have spoken about this. He says that, small business pay far too much when you look at where their work is done. So every year we go and pay $210 for the annual company return, which is just a tax. You don't get anything for it. You only get fined if you don't pay it. That's the only outcome. And he was saying, that nearly all the work they do is, of course, with the big end of town. Of course it is. And he said, if you look at the average cost on what they do with small business, it probably ends up with about $9 a business. So that's the thing where we might end up with a bit of saving or something there as they look at the user pay. That's good news, so we can see where we go from there as well.
All right. Well, look, thanks very much for that update, Peter. I really appreciate your time.
Okay.
And thanks for being on The Money. Peter Strong there, CEO of the Small Business Association of Australia, looking forward to maybe a few more incentives in the upcoming budget. Small business and SMEs are not getting the sustained fillip that the government was expecting from last year's budget, according to PricewaterhouseCoopers partner on the private clients team, Sue Presney. She believes that the tax write-off incentives could be extended to all business types to stimulate the economy. I asked her what measures she thought were effective following last year's budget.
There were some measures that were immediately effective from 12th of May, from budget night last year, but many of them really took effect after that date, so we haven't really seen the end of what the impact's likely to be. We certainly saw with the instant asset write-off, so that's where businesses could claim an immediate tax deduction for assets worth up to $20,000. There did seem to be a lot of interest and a spike in things like cars, small items of machinery, up to 30th of June last year, between budget night and 30th of June last year. I'm not sure that that continued after the initial hype. But we've got to remember that that concession will last until 30th of June 2017.
So there could be another spike June 30 this year?
Yes, or I would anticipate more of a spike at 30th of June next year when it's going to go away.
Oh, yes, okay, yep, yep.
Yeah, and I guess that's the point too, that we would really like to see that extended, and we'd like to see the threshold lifted so that larger businesses could get some advantage from this. You know, the businesses that really impact on our productivity, we'd like them to have the opportunity to be able to get a concession to make themselves up to date with their machinery and productivity, and make sure that the country is getting the very best cutting edge equipment so that we can produce more globally competitive products.
So do you get the feeling that bigger business has been letting their asset base sort of run down or degrade a little bit, do you?
Well, it's not really that. It's more that we really want people to be encouraged to go and get the very best machinery and equipment that's around. So we need to encourage them so that they have an incentive to do it, rather than say, well, this old piece of equipment will last me a few years, but that's going to make my pricing not quite so competitive as it otherwise might have been on a global basis. So it's one of those things that other countries do well, and I'm not sure that we have done quite as well as places like Singapore.
Of course, one of the big things that's been talked about, of course, is perhaps reducing the corporate tax rate. Do you think that's a more important objective, or would it be good to get some investment in plant and equipment going?
I'm all for targeted concessions so that even with the instant asset write-off, the idea of people going out and buying new office furniture doesn't excite me nearly as much as people going out and buying new equipment.
Yeah, because we've got issues with productivity. We seem to have slid competitively. And so things like that, yeah, you're not going to be more competitive having a new swivel chair, are you?
No, or a new car, really.
Yeah, and unless the old one isn't getting to A to B fast enough or something.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm all for targeting, but appreciate that's tricky often politically.
And do you think with that initiative, did it have an effect on small businesses, giving them confidence, and were they thinking of expanding and adding staff or moving to a larger premises? Did you see anything like that happening as a result?
Not so far, not that I've seen, but, you know, that's just our experience here. No, I think it's a big jump to go from getting a tax deduction at whatever your tax rate is on $20,000 and then deciding to go and get new premises. But it certainly at the time made people realise that the government was putting some trust in them and that they had confidence that they could go ahead. But I think to take any large measures on the basis of that is not something that has become obvious to me anyway.
Saul Eslake commented and said that he didn't think the package, apart from an initial boost in retail and car sales, had done all that much. Would you sort of concur with that sort of assessment?
Yeah, that seems to be what we're seeing. And, you know, it's a big thing to change premises, and it's a big thing to go and buy a new large piece of equipment. So you do need to have some significant a significantly large carrot to get you to do those things.
So what do you think your clients would like to see in the budget? Is there something, you know, apart from a reduction in corporate tax, is there any other things, any initiatives that you see on the horizon which would help your clients?
What would help my clients is what I've already touched on, and that is to have a general increase in that instant asset write-off. So if you like, you know, the old investment allowance, where for larger businesses and for larger assets, they get an immediate incentive to go and buy something that's going to make them more productive. But they need the encouragement and they need the financial incentive to do that.
And so you're saying, I guess, that bigger businesses are the hope for our wider economy, are they?
Well, they're the ones that employ and they're the ones that ultimately generate export sales. So there's not a great many 2 million turnover businesses that generate a lot of export sales or employment. They have employment individually, but it's the larger businesses that will ultimately be... But medium business, I think, is really where the engine room of the economy is. And small businesses will get to medium businesses, but it's the medium businesses that really produce the kickstart that we need.
The Small Business Association have said that one of the biggest things that's helped them is the changes in contracts. So it gives them some protections, like consumer protections, when they're dealing with larger companies.
Yeah.
What's your view on this?
I think it's important. I think it's important that small businesses have protection not only from larger companies but from government. And we did see, again, that issue raised about small businesses getting paid quickly by government in particular. So I think they don't have the commercial bargaining power, and we have to have some regulation that puts them more on an equal footing with the people that they're trading with.
PricewaterhouseCoopers partner Sue Presley there, looking forward to perhaps an expansion of incentives in the 2016 budget.